The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good morning. Last week I introduced the topic of metta, of loving-kindness practice, and I thought we'd start this morning by doing a little metta, so I'll do that. For the first part of the sitting is a guided meditation. Allowing your body to relax. And settle into your posture. Allowing your body to be as comfortable as it can be. It's helpful with metta practice to allow the body to be comfortable. And put your attention in the area around your heart. Just noticing what you're experiencing there. Whatever it is, there's no right or wrong thing to be felt. Just opening to the experience around the heart as it is at the moment. And staying connected to the experience in the heart center, allow yourself to recollect, to reflect on qualities that you like about yourself. All of you have the quality of willingness to engage in this process of opening your heart, and that's a beautiful quality. And spend a few moments reflecting on kind things that you have done. Perhaps visiting a friend or allowing somebody an easy merge on the freeway, anything. It can be very simple. And staying connected to the experience in the area of your heart. Begin expressing wishes of kindness towards yourself. I'll offer some phrases to express this wish. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. With each phrase, with each wish, contact a sense of yourself in whatever way feels appropriate to you. That might be a feeling of yourself sitting here, or it might be reflecting on an image of yourself. Perhaps sometime when you were particularly happy. As you say the phrase, understand its meaning. And after saying the phrase, come back and check in the area of your heart and just notice what the impact has been on your experience as a result of making this wish. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. Continuing for the next few minutes in this way, wishing kindness to yourself. If the mind wanders off into thought, see if you can just let go of the thinking and come back to the wishes of kindness towards yourself. Now bringing to mind a person who you feel has benefited you in some way, has helped you, supported you, person with whom there's a relatively easy relationship or perhaps a distant relationship, but not one that has much complication. We sometimes call this person a benefactor. It might be a parent, a child or a grandchild, a teacher, and think of qualities of that person that you admire. Allow yourself to reflect on qualities of that person that you admire. And again, staying connected with the area around your heart. Bringing a sense of this person into your heart, either through an image or perhaps the felt sense of being with them. And begin wishing them the phrases of kindness. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. Again, with each phrase connecting to the sense of the person, saying the phrase and understanding its meaning, and returning to the bodily experience in the area of your heart and seeing what the impact on your heart has been from expressing that wish. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. Continuing in your own pace, to express these wishes of kindness towards this person who has supported you in your life. for the last couple of minutes of the sitting, I'd like to suggest that you imagine your benefactor wishing you well. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. So I think there were a few of you who weren't here last time, so I'll review a little bit about the metta practice. The metta practice, the loving kindness practice, is a meditation practice that focuses on the cultivation of kindness in our hearts. And we do this by expressing a wish of kindness towards ourselves and towards others. It's not an affirmation that we're expressing. It's not an affirmation saying, I am happy, I am healthy, or you are happy, you are healthy. It's the expression of a wish. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. And it's this wish itself that is the expression of kindness. That when we have a feeling of kindness in our hearts, this is kind of a natural wish that arises for us. So it's expressing that wish, which is inclining our hearts towards that quality. It's actually a practice of intention, that expressing that wish is a way of inclining the mind, intending the mind to head in the direction of kindness. For myself, as I began this practice of metta practice, it was quite difficult for me in the early years of my practice. And then at one point I got some instructions around what I was suggesting that you do, with each phrase touching into the area of the heart, coming back into the bodily experience of how saying the phrases impacts your experience. And for me that made a huge difference, to have the metta practice become a more embodied practice, as opposed to just the mental exercise of saying phrases. It became connecting with the physical experience of what the saying of phrases how it resulted in touching me. So with each phrase, there's the connecting with the being that you're sending the metta to, the saying the phrase and understanding the meaning. This understanding the meaning part is basically keeping it from being a mantra, where in saying a phrase repeatedly like that, sometimes you can just get into the sound of the phrase and lose touch with the meaning. So consciously connecting with the meaning each time you wish the make the wish. And then coming back to the heart. With every phrase, coming back to the heart and seeing. Just sitting for a moment and seeing how does the heart feel right now? You can just explore it in that way. How does the heart feel right now? You're not looking for anything in particular. You're just waiting to see or checking to see if there's been something different that happens in the area of your heart. Now, the metta practice itself can generate feelings of kindness. So that may be one feeling. So that feeling of kindness may be one of the things you may sense, just a slight shift or opening in the heart. And surprisingly, or maybe it's actually not so surprising once we learn how the metta practice works, feelings that are diametrically opposed to metta may also come up. So you may be wishing these feelings of kindness towards yourself or towards another person and feel anger, frustration, fear, hostility. This isn't a mistake. It doesn't mean that the practice is not working. In fact, usually it means the opposite. As I said last week, one of my teachers, Guy Armstrong, talks about the metta practice being like running a metta magnet over your heart. It pulls out what's not metta. It brings it to the surface and allows it to come out. And in that process of being pulled to the surface, we feel it. So the metta practice can bring out these opposite qualities of ill will. And that is the quality of ill will is said to be the far enemy of metta. It's not going to be mistaken for metta. It's obviously kind of metta's opposite. And that is a quality of feeling that may arise during the metta practice. Another kind of feeling that might arise is what is called the near enemy, which is something that can be confused for the feeling of kindness, the feeling of metta, the feeling of love, which is selfish attachment. So as you're wishing, this may come up more in the category of person we're going to work with today, the dear friend, that as you're wishing metta towards that person, there can be feelings of kind of wanting the other person to be mine, or a feeling of needing some kind of reciprocity of the feeling of kindness. And again, those feelings are not a mistake, but it is helpful to kind of recognize that those feelings are not the quality of pure, unconditional kindness. The metta, the kindness that we are opening our hearts to is the kindness of wishing well without needing anything in return. And so if there's that kind of feeling of give and take, or, you know, wanting something from the person that you are wishing well for, that's a little bit of the near enemy of metta. So today, I'd like to talk a little bit about a new category of person, and to talk about this concept of categories for metta. So last week we talked about ourselves, sending metta to ourselves, and metta to a benefactor, which we did during the guided meditation. And today we're going to open to a dear friend. Essentially, this practice of metta is starting to open our hearts to more and more people, until ultimately we can open our hearts to all beings. And sometimes people find it easier, in a sense, to just go straight to all beings. You know, some people have talked about kind of getting a rocket's eye view of the planet, you know, looking at the planet from outer space and feeling a sense of the vulnerability of everyone on the planet, and, you know, that it's easy to say, oh, may all beings be happy, may all beings be healthy from that perspective. And it can feel that way. But what this practice of going through the categories does is it reveals any delusion we might have about whether we truly can wish all beings unconditional happiness, unconditional love. So we go through these categories, these five categories: self, benefactor, dear friend, neutral person, difficult person. And as we go through the categories, you may start to see when the metta gets specific, the mind gets specific around the kindness. And it thinks of all the reasons why, perhaps, I should hold myself back from this complete unconditional loving kindness with this dear friend who, well, sometimes doesn't return my calls or forgets about me, and there's this feeling of a little bit of tension. So we can't always just wish them complete unconditional happiness. So the specific person can begin to reveal, okay, we're still a little caught. You know, yes, I can sit up in, you know, outer space and look at the whole planet, but I'm really forgetting about that person that I just don't like, as we wish all beings well. So this really helps to cut through some of that delusion that we might have to go through these different categories. So the metta practice itself has a couple of purposes. It's used both to cultivate the metta, that's its primary purpose, and it can be used as a concentration practice to settle the mind down. So you have some leeway in how you do the practice, especially if you're doing it primarily to cultivate the metta. If you're doing it to cultivate the concentration, I'll make some suggestions about a way to approach the practice. But with the cultivation of metta, sometimes people find that as they're working with a benefactor or working with a dear friend, it's like some other dear friends or other people kind of come knocking at the door. It's like it begins to open your heart. And there's a sense of not just wanting to wish metta to this person, but that other people kind of begin asking to receive metta in a sense, you know, that other people come up in your mind. And it's fine if you are cultivating metta to allow these other people in as you wish the phrases of kindness. If you are doing concentration practice, it's usually most supportive of the concentration developing to stay with a fewer number of people. It allows the mind to get a little more settled down, to stabilize with one person. You get really familiar with the feeling of being with that person in your mind, and it settles the mind to a place where it can become more concentrated. If you're continually bringing in a bunch of different people, that agitates the mind from the concentration side of things. But if you're finding it opening your heart to bring in others, you know, a couple of minutes with this friend, a couple of minutes with that friend, a couple of minutes with this friend, that's fine. For the way that we're, the purposes of what we're doing here, really beginning to try to connect with the metta itself, do what supports you to feel that feeling as you begin to touch into the feeling of the kindness. So, as we open to a friend, picking somebody who's a dear friend, it's usually suggested that the friend be of a gender that you are not sexually attracted to. And I found out myself why this was supportive on a month-long retreat where I was doing metta. And the feelings of metta, the feelings of metta as they come up can feel remarkably sexual. And so, for me at least, it was helpful to distinguish the feeling of metta when it was coming up, that I was really happy that I was doing it towards a person that I was not sexually attracted to, because it was clear to me that the sexual feelings were unrelated to the person, that they were more a result of the flowing of the metta. So, again, that was doing it as a concentration practice, but play with it yourself and see what works for you. So with a dear friend, as we begin to wish kindness to a dear friend, as I mentioned, we may start to think of all of the reasons or all of the things that have come up, the kind of specifics of the relationship that make it hard to wish complete unconditional love, kindness for this person. And again, that's not a mistake. So see in the wishes, in directing the wishes, if you can just simply recognize that some contraction or some resistance has come up. You may feel this in the area of your heart. You know, we're coming back to the area of the heart every time you wish a phrase. You may feel some contraction or some tension. And just acknowledge that and just gently see if you can keep going. Acknowledge the thoughts that may arise of, oh, well, they did that thing. Just see if you can gently keep going. If it gets too difficult, if it starts to feel too painful or like there's too much conflict, then the usual instruction is to move back to where it's easier in your practice. So move back to the benefactor, move back to self. Let go of dear friend for a little while, come back to the place where the feeling can feel a little more stable. The metta is sometimes compared to a pool filling up, and that, you know, the pool fills up with the metta, And after a while, after it's completely full, it begins to overflow and move into other areas. And so we see if we can connect to filling the pool of our hearts with metta and then moving out to areas where it's maybe a little more difficult to feel the metta, but seeing if that feeling can overflow a little bit. So if it feels just way too difficult, coming back to where it's easier to, again, kind of nourish that reservoir again. As I said last week, sometimes this practice itself feels dry. It just feels kind of mechanical. It doesn't feel like there's much happening in the heart. So sometimes we might think that this practice isn't working because of this feeling of dryness. And that's not necessarily the case. If it's feeling dry, that may simply be the way things are working for you right now. As long as it's possible to keep going, even if it feels a little dry, that's okay. The dryness part is okay. I think I told the story of a teacher last week who spent a whole week doing metta thinking nothing had happened, that it just was mechanically saying the phrases, understanding the meaning. But then she dropped something and broke a vase, and her first response was, "Oh, you're so clumsy, but I love you anyway." And she said that was such a different response for her, that she knew that something had been happening during that week, even though she hadn't really felt it. Because that initial response back to herself of, "Oh, I love you anyway," was so uncharacteristic of her mind. So trust that the process is unfolding, even if there's this feeling of dryness. Now, as I also mentioned last week, it can sometimes be difficult to direct metta towards oneself, in our culture particularly. And so at the end of the guided meditation, I suggested one of the ways that sometimes we can turn metta back to ourself that's a little easier, which is having our benefactor send metta to us. And I wanted to check in with you and see what happened for you when I suggested that you do that. Anybody's willing to share about this? Yeah, in the back. Joel, could you hand that back?
I felt very awkward doing that.
When you switched it back?
When I pushed it back.
Uh-huh.
And I had trouble visualizing it.
Okay. How about when you just sent it right to yourself? Was that...
That was easier.
That was easier? Okay, that's fine. Just stay there. No need to do that imagining the benefactor sending it to you. For me, for some people where they have difficulty wishing it to themselves, sometimes that turning back can help. But if you're not having difficulty with that, just leave that out. Thank you. Yeah, and next to you.
I'd actually spoken with my benefactor about metta, and she said, "Oh, I know that practice." And so she started on the phone repeating, sending me the metta. And I felt astounded, and like I didn't deserve it, and maybe that she didn't mean it, and a bunch of other things. And so today, when the benefactor was, in the guided meditation, I was like, "Oh, well." You know, I actually heard her voice again on the phone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was different, and it felt uncomfortable still.
Mm-hmm.
And how about when you're sending it towards yourself?
Very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
And I've been trying to practice metta and studying all about it, of course. And I have some very elaborate phrases. And I don't know if they're helpful or if I should just go back to the basic ones.
Well, if you find sometimes elaborate phrases can be very helpful. They can evoke something in your mind that supports the feeling to come up. So that's fine if the elaborate phrases seem to work for you. Over time, as the mind settles down, it often is helpful to kind of find ways to shorten the elaborate phrases to a few words so that after a while, it seems that a few words can evoke the sense of the elaborate phrase. So over time, play with that. But if the elaborate phrases are supportive for you, that's fine. Go ahead with that. Sometimes, too, in the phrases or in envisioning either yourself or others, it can be interesting to be creative. I mean, metta can be a very creative practice. It can be a practice of using thought actually quite a bit, not just the thought of the wish, but perhaps envisioning the person or yourself in a situation that manifests that wish. So, you know, may I be happy, envisioning yourself being happy, you know, just in a time when you've been happy. Or may I be healthy, maybe envisioning yourself having a very healthful meal. Or may I be safe, envisioning yourself in a place where you feel safe. So that you can also use the imagination to support the metta as well. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, over here.
I'm a very visual person, so exactly what you just described is how I've been doing it. And when the benefactor was wishing me well wishes, what I felt was that sort of this lighthearted, happy feeling,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it felt really great. And so I liked that. It felt kind of strange, but really wonderful. So I enjoyed that.
Thank you. Bud.
Well, it opened another may you feel connected scenario. So it was like completing the circuit, going out for me and coming back from them. Something else to be mindful of, pay attention to, and open to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what it brought up for me was an area that needed to be open, the sense of connectivity.
I see. So not just one way.
Exactly.
But receiving as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was surprised to find that had been blocked, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And it was pleasant to be mindful of its opening. So that worked well.
Thank you. Okay. So these feelings that some of you mentioned of not deserving the metta or the discomfort of the metta, the uncomfortableness of wishing oneself metta. Partly that's why we use self and benefactor. I like to think of self and benefactor as great places to begin the metta because usually we can connect with one or the other. And if you haven't found a benefactor that is easy for you to connect with yet, to feel this just kind of spontaneous well-wishing for a person, one instruction that I got from Joseph Goldstein on one retreat was, think of a being who makes you smile. And for me, my cat popped into my mind. And I had had great difficulty sending metta to other people. There was so much of that blocked experience. But I could send metta to my cat. And boy, there was just an opening of the heart for my cat. So find a being that makes you smile. That will begin the connection, begin the feeling of the metta. So let's see, anything else about the friend? Actually, I'll talk about both the friend and the neutral person now, and we'll do both in, we'll do a short guided meditation with those two as well. So the neutral person is opening to the category of person that you just don't know very well. So this is moving into the territory of really genuinely being able to wish all beings unconditional kindness. Because we don't know most beings. So this is picking some specific person that you don't know well, but who is in your field, usually. Somebody that you come in contact with. So there's a little bit of specificity that happens around the person. So it might be a person you meet in the grocery store or the bank, or it might be your postal carrier, or somebody at work that you see but don't know. There's a wide variety of people in our lives that we come into contact with but don't really know very well. And so that beginning to wish that person well begins to connect to the kind of just general sense of shared humanity with all people. Now that all people want to be happy, they want to be healthy, they want to have a place where they can be safe, and they want to have ease in their lives. And so this, the imagination needs to get a little, you know, it can get a little more creative here, you know, envisioning this person. You may not know if they have family or what their friends are like, but, you know, envisioning them perhaps with some family, or envisioning how they might enjoy spending their time, to just kind of open up that channel of that kindness to someone. So again, it can start to feel, particularly at the neutral person, it can start to feel really dry because there's not a lot of juice, you know, with the benefactor, with the dear friend, and with the self too. There's more of a sense of connection already. And with the neutral person, the connection sometimes feels very tenuous if there's a connection at all. Now, sometimes people hitting the neutral person have different experiences. Sometimes people just feel like it gets boring because they don't particularly have a sense of caring or connection for that person spontaneously. And so it really becomes just the saying the phrases and connecting with the meaning. Sometimes people find it much easier because in the other categories, like the dear friend, for instance, you meet the real strong specifics of the relationship, and so there's place for conflict to arise in the metta practice. Whereas with the neutral person, often there's very little in the way of specific, and so there's not much to rub up against. Some of us have the assumption in general that people are kind and happy and healthy, and you know that supports a movement towards, oh yeah, sure, I wish for people to be happy and healthy. So you might have different responses in moving to the neutral person. So in moving through these categories, as I said, it can help to come back if it feels too difficult or just like your mind is just wandering all over the place with the neutral person. Come back to self or benefactor. that's usually the place to kind of recharge the reservoir. Whichever of those two is easiest for you. When we have a sense of the metta for ourselves, when we really sense that quality of metta for ourselves, there's a way in which it actually creates happiness in our hearts. Your metta feels good. The quality of kindness feels good. I remember doing one retreat where I was wishing metta for myself, and as I said the phrase, may I be happy, I realized I am happy. And I was on a long retreat in Burma, and I was in the midst of, you know, months there, and I was really happy. And I'd say those phrases, and it really resonated. And so there's this upwelling of a sense of really strong happiness in my heart. And then when I turn to other beings, it's like, yes, may everybody feel this way. You know, this feeling is so beautiful. There was a natural wish for others to feel that way. Because this kind of a happiness is not the happiness of having things. It's a happiness that comes up from the inside. So it's not, you know, in the material world, often we think of happiness as being, you know, having things, you know, having money, having possessions, constructing the world so that we have the things to make us feel safe and happy. And this practice is pointing to a happiness that is more dependent on internal qualities than it is on external conditions. And so we're getting in touch with that capacity that we have to feel that happiness without necessarily having our world arranged in a specific way. And when we touch into that feeling, it's so clear to us that this is not a zero-sum game. You know, the happiness of possessions can feel like a zero-sum game. You know, this person has a high salary and a good job. It means I didn't get that job. So it can kind of feel like happiness, there's only a limited amount of it to go around. There's only a limited amount of things to be had. And so-and-so has that, so I can't have it. So there's a sense of happiness as not being just infinite, in a sense. And as we begin to touch into this quality in our hearts of the happiness being unrelated to the external conditions of the world, we really sense that, oh, this is something that everybody could experience, and it won't take away from anybody. So it just overflows. It's a feeling of, yes, yes, I wish this for all beings. So again, it's not necessary to get to that place. That was a kind of an unusual circumstance. It happened, I think, once in my time at Burma that I really had that strong feeling like that. So, you know, just recognizing what your heart is experiencing, touching into that, and just continuing in a very gentle way, as relaxed as you can be about continuing the phrases, understanding the meaning, connecting to the person, and coming back to the heart. Just being as relaxed as you can about the whole practice, and just noticing what happens in your own heart. Being just opening to that as well. That's an act of metta to yourself, to open to whatever appears in your heart. And if it gets too difficult as we move into self, away from self into friend and neutral person, if it gets too difficult at any time, come back to self or benefactor, whichever feels the easiest. So let's do a short meditation, about 15 minutes or so. Maybe 12 or so, with friend and neutral person, and then we can have another conversation about that. So we'll start with self and benefactor, then I'll suggest moving to friend, then to neutral person. So allowing your body to relax. And check in to the experience in the area around your heart. Just noticing what's there. The act of just being willing to notice without judgment is an act of metta to yourself. And reflecting for a few moments on qualities that you like about yourself, kind things that you've done. And staying connected with the area of the heart, almost as if you were wishing the phrases through the heart. Begin saying the phrases of kindness towards yourself in your mind. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. With each phrase, connecting back to the experience in the area of the heart, the embodied experience in the area of the heart, and noticing what's happening there. And opening up to connect to the benefactor. Reflecting on qualities you like and admire about the benefactor. And begin wishing, expressing the phrases of kindness to the benefactor. With each phrase coming back and noticing the bodily experience around the heart. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. And now connecting with a dear friend, allowing your dear friend to come into your mind and heart, either as an image or as the sense of being with them, or however it works for you to connect with your friend. Think about some qualities that you like about your friend. And begin expressing the wishes of kindness to your friend. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. Connecting with the experience of your friend, saying the phrase, understanding its meaning, and returning to the bodily experience in the area of your heart. To be with what has happened as a result of saying the phrases. And allowing yourself to connect with a neutral person. Envisioning that person in your mind in whatever way works for you. And seeing if you can connect with a sense of shared humanness. Sometimes in switching to another person, it can be helpful to transition to that person by connecting first with yourself and then with the other person. So you might use one time transition phrase. Just as I wish to be happy, so too may you be happy. Just as I wish to be healthy, so too may you be healthy. Just as I wish to be safe, so too may you be safe. Just as I wish to live at ease, so too may you live at ease. With each phrase, connecting with the heart center and noticing the response in the heart. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. And for the last minute of the sitting, coming back to self or benefactor, whichever is easiest for you. So that was longer than 12 minutes. So what did you notice? Or is there anything anybody wants to ask or to share about that experience? Yeah, Juliet.
I found it particularly easy with the good friend. I just noticed
there was an easier sense of
connection
and
yeah.
So you found that easier than the benefactor and the self, or
I did.
So you know, in general, the instructions for metta practice are to begin where it's easiest. And the basic instructions is outlined in the text, say, start with yourself. That's easiest. That's not our experience. Generally, you know, we don't seem to have that experience. So if you find the benefactor easier than yourself, or the dear friend easier than yourself, you can begin there. Start your metta practice with that. And then move to benefactor, to self. And see if you can, sometimes when you're getting a sense of real connection to a friend, you can just slip yourself into that field. It's like, oh, and me too, may I be happy too? So using that feeling, that connection. Joel?
Yeah, I seem to sink into this nice visual, I mean, I was sinking into this kind of deep state, and it was very visual. I could actually visualize my heart, and it was just very nice, and I wasn't that really noticing whether it's a friend, benefactor. It was just, oh, I have a nice stability here. I'd mm-hmm. like this again, so this could get practiced. That could be, you know, the next day and the next week. It'd be nice to have that. I don't think I've had that when some of these, certainly loving kindness meditation, I haven't had this type of kind of sinking in. I found that in general, metta practice kind of at times easy, at times difficult.
Yeah.
And so this was nice, kind of just all of a sudden happened right yeah. in the beginning. Is that yeah. great? And it so, kind of stuck with me most of the time.
So is it the visual connected with a felt sense?
I'd say there's some felt sense. It's not this deep. Uh-huh. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of light.
That's fine.
It's fine, right, right. It's light, it's fine. And it was also what I noticed was when I went off into a little thought, in the middle, I kind of came back to it,
mm-hmm.
and so that's powerful for me.
Yeah, to, great.
And it was light. I mean, it was light and deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lightness of the feeling of metta. I mean, sometimes I think we have this idea that it's supposed to be this, you know, that we're supposed to start with feeling these unbounded, overflowing, feelings of love, and it's like it doesn't usually happen that way, you know. Some people maybe, but you know, it's more about touching into the real simple qualities of kindness, of caring, you know, just the normal everyday feelings, and seeing where those go, you know, that those basic qualities of kindness and caring are the seeds of the more expanded feeling, and cultivating those feelings can lead to step by step. I think last week I talked about a feeling, just the smallest little change or shift towards kindness in my heart, and then every phrase was like it was just like a little ember of kindness, and then every phrase was like blowing a little gentle breeze on the ember of kindness. It's like, oh yeah, and then it just like gets a little more as the time goes on. So that's fine. Simple.
I'm happy.
And we need to stop after this one. Sorry.
With the dear friend, my mind was more wandering because I was reminded of the specific situations and a little bit of like holding back, wanting to hold back
mm-hmm.
was there. And with a neutral person, I picked a receptionist at an international office at my school, and I just usually I just feel her as like some kind of like processor to get me through to see like an advisor, but I felt more of like a connection with her, like she was like a person,
mm-hmm.
and then I felt like I had more, much more, like similar sense of feeling, like the connection to
mm-hmm,
her.
So. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Min. That's beautiful. So we'll continue this maybe for one more week. Next week, I think we'll work with a difficult person and then move out to all beings, and we'll see. It may be one or two more weeks, but maybe 3 weeks on metta is good. So thank you, and may you be at ease.